Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about all kinds of interesting things that have to do with UFOs and the paranormal. I hope you enjoyed our show last week. We had a very interesting guest. Her name is Linda Godfrey, and she's written, about a dozen books up to this point. We were talking about her books, Weird Wisconsin and Weird Michigan and Strange Wisconsin and Strange Michigan. That's part of the very popular series, Weird U.S., which is doing quite well. And, did she have a lot of interesting stories to share about those states. I tell you, each state, it's interesting, has kind of their own weird, unique flavor of weirdness to it. So it was a really interesting show. If you didn't get a chance to enjoy it, all the shows are archived again on the BBS website. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. It's very interesting. But let's get to our guest tonight. Tonight we're moving in a slightly different direction. I've done a few shows about this subject in the past, not a lot, and I'm very, very interested in it. So I'm really excited because our guest tonight is actually an expert on this subject, which is past lives, past life research and healing, actually. I don't know if a lot of you out there realize how connected these two subjects are, but they're intimately connected, as our guest tonight will tell us. His name is Dr. Charles V. Tremont, M.D., and he's written this amazing book called From Birth to Rebirth, Gnostic Healing for the 21st Century. It's just been released by Swan Raven and Company, a publisher who publishes a lot of these kind of healing books. And it's a beautiful book. I actually know the publishers, and they're very, very nice people. And I'm very, very excited to have our guest on tonight because this book, I mean, if you go on to Amazon.com, it's got a lot of really good reviews. People are really being turned on by this book. It is basically about his training into this subject, how he moved from modern medical techniques towards hypnosis and regressions and past life therapy, which he found out was having remarkable healing effects on his patients. But he will tell us more about it and his brand new book, From Birth to Rebirth, Gnostic Healing for the 21st Century by Charles Tremont. Charles, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Well, as I said, it's a great pleasure.
Now, this is quite an interesting subject.
Yes, it is. As I told you, I have a passion for this kind of stuff, and it definitely can challenge many individuals' belief systems, but it did me initially, but I was able to prove to myself that reincarnation is very real and very valid, and I've been able to validate many cases and found patients who were exhibiting the rare phenomenon called xenoglossy, where they speak foreign languages unknown to them. And
wow.
Just a whole array of different kind of proofs, taking two individuals back to the same lifetime, unbeknownst to each other, and then unfolding the same identical scenario.
So that's
pretty good proof in my book. Yeah,
I agree. You know, it's interesting because there's been other people who have been able to also verify. There was, I forget his name, Dr. Watson, was it? I forget what it was. But he also uncovered a number of histories in India where people had scars and stuff, which they were able to attribute to past life experiences and stuff.
Well, you know, there are many pioneers in this field. You know, Brian Weiss, one of the originals back in the 80s. And Dick Sutphin, he was even preceded Brian Weiss. And of course, Michael Newton does a lot of work in the afterlife. He's got several books out. In fact, he even emailed me and congratulated me on my book. A very, very nice individual. But the business with reincarnation utilizes karma, and it's a very strong sense of justice. And I have just been totally impressed with what I've been able to find from people.
How did you move into this subject? I mean, it is an unusual subject.
Well, actually, I was an OBGYN for a lot of years, and in my last 10 years in practice, I decided to take a hypnosis course. And I remember it very clearly because it was right before my Air Force squadron was activated for Desert Storm. So I was gone for a while. But I remember attending that course and being just utterly impressed with what I saw as far as the potential for healing. And then I started getting into looking into books on past life regression, Brian Weiss's and so on, and that kind of really, really blew me away. But what really propelled me on this is when I decided to take the plunge and jump into this with my patients, and I had to do this after my usual hours or while I was waiting for individuals in labor because my office was adjacent to the hospital. But one of my earliest patients was another doctor's secretary who came to me with nightmares in which she woke up screaming and she had several phobias. And I was able to cure her completely in 3 sessions by taking her back to the cause of these things. And she went back to, 6 lifetimes, 6 or 7. But I was able to validate historically 6 of those lifetimes and, you know, dates and events. And she also spoke ancient Gaelic and and Hungarian, this kind of thing. So she really...
That's an amazing statement. I mean, she's speaking foreign languages.
That's unknown to them, yeah. And you know what? There's a classic case. I don't know if you read that in my book or not, but Irvin Mortis was a hypnotherapist in the 70s. And I talked to him a while back. He's in his 90s now, but that particular case of his was unbelievable. He hypnotized an individual who had like a 10th grade education, knew only English, and probably not that well. But he took him back to 16 different lifetimes, and the individual spoke 16 different languages, including ancient hieroglyphics, ancient Greek, and wrote them out. And they repeated the whole process in a research center with like 7 MDs and, I think it was 5 MDs and 2 researchers.
Right.
And they signed off on it and witnessed it. And you cannot explain that in any other way other than the fact that this individual was in all these past lifetimes. It's, you know, that is unbelievable. And then there's been workers like Dr. Ian Stevenson, who worked strictly with children and did research on reincarnation for 40 years. But he had like 2,600 documented cases of kids who knew who they were consciously, and they proved it.
Right. That's the researcher I was trying to remember the name of, Ian Stevenson.
Yeah. Yeah, he's something else. He's no longer with us now, but the man did an awful great service. Yeah, I mean, kids would say, you know, at 4 or 5 years old, you're not my father. My father is so-and-so. And they go check it out, and he'd know everybody in the family, all the family secrets, and where every piece of furniture went in that house, you know. He was there. It's amazing. They had a case just, maybe over the last couple of years I saw in the news that kind of reminded me of that. They had a kid who, as he grew up, he was riding one of these little, it was like an airplane bicycle type thing. You know, it had wings and so on. I had one of those when I was a kid, and I really got a kick out of it. And you'd pedal around, you know, like a little airplane. He was about, 4 or 5. But he would tell his mother that he remembers crashing and drowning. And he kept saying, I couldn't get out. And then within a year or so, he began naming everybody in his squadron.
Oh my goodness.
He was talking about a battle in the Pacific. And he and that particular pilot crashed and just couldn't get his canopy open and drowned. You know, it's very, very real. There's so much proof. So
right,
I am
right.
Passionate about it.
Well, I mean, it's what a wonderful way not only to heal people and have them learn more about themselves and who they are, but to also research past events. And I'm wondering, have you been able to do that?
Yeah, right. The events are what you historically can look up. And I'm always, my ears are always perking when I hear something that I can look up. Like, I had this young woman, and I think that was cases in my book too, but she was, we took her back to a life in the 40s, and she was a reporter, a sports reporter for, I think it was like Pittsburgh. And she reported on the Pittsburgh Pirates and these kind of things. And as I advanced her in that lifetime, she was a he in that lifetime, but as I advanced him, I said, okay, where are you now? So I'm in New York. Well, what are you doing? I'm watching this very important game, and that my ears got all perked up at that point. And I, why is it important? Well, we're playing the Brooklyn Dodgers. And I said, so what's the big deal? Well, they have a new manager this year. Something I can look up. So a year, she says, was 1947. When I looked it up, I find out Leo Durocher was the manager something like from 1939 to, 1949, I think it was something like that, some 10-year
right.
span. At any rate, I said, damn, that's not a good thing. But as I kept reading, there was a small paragraph, and it said, in 1947, Leo Durocher was seen with known gamblers and suspended for that year. And for that year, they brought in a new manager. Now, here's a little innuendo. It's very difficult for people to know, and especially a woman who had no clue about history of baseball. So, I mean, there's all kinds of evidence that I would run into constantly.
Now, do these people who are, you are regressing, do they have any, symptom of their past life that's, coming out? And, sometimes people have phobia, as you said, but...
Well, this is how it works. And this is why I have a passion for this, because it's so therapeutic. I believe that the soul, enters new bodies, and
right.
the soul carries with it the subconscious memory, and that memory remembers every moment of every life you've ever lived. And when it enters a new body, it somehow integrates and assimilates into that body, into every subatomic particle within that body. And on a daily basis, these memories are being triggered to the surface. Just in one day, you probably trigger off hundreds of memories. But those memories aren't, when they're filed away, they're probably mundane. They're not very emotional. And so what they do is they form your attitude, and how you feel about things. However, if you have a memory that's filed away at a time when there's extreme emotion, such as a way in which you died, then
right.
you will end up, when you trigger that memory, with an overreaction or a phobia, such as afraid of water, or afraid of fire, or guns and knives and things of that nature. And the way we do it is simply you take people back to the cause of their problem. The subconscious is very protective, and it will go zero right into the event or events responsible, and it may be several lives contributing to that. But it shows the conscious mind what's going on, because under hypnosis, your conscious mind is fully awake. But the conscious mind makes an objective observation and also makes a distinction of time, whereas the subconscious makes no such distinction of time. It's as if it just happened yesterday when it may have happened 1,000 years ago. And so it has a very real effect on your conscious mind, and it negatively programs your conscious mind. And so people suffer needlessly for their whole lifetime. And what happens is they can relieve themselves in one session by just observing what happened. And sometimes it may require, forgiveness. Like if a woman, I had one just recently who had this tremendous neck problem all the time, neck discomfort. That was about 3 days ago, I think. And she went back to a life where she was beheaded. It was like 16-something. And it was at a time when, they thought certain women were witches and just tortured them or killed them in various sundry ways. But her conscious mind sees this for what it truly is, understands it happened a long time ago, does not relate to her now, and also I go through a forgiveness scenario with them as far as the people who put her to death. And so from her heart, she forgives them. And when this is all accomplished, she's free. She's no longer having pain. She's feeling good and understands.
Amazing.
So, so it's amazingly tremendous.
This therapy then can, past life therapy can cure more than just phobias and
mental illnesses. This is my thought. I firmly believe that every illness across the board, all of them, emotional or physical illnesses, have an emotional cause, and it's buried somewhere in past times. And I've given lectures to the physicians at one of the bigger hospitals here in Vegas to include this in their cancer program. Because if you can, you know, when they treat these cancers with chemotherapy and radiation, these individuals, some of them just don't respond and some just die. But if you bring up that emotional cause, which is still festering and continuing to keep the immune system down, if you can relieve that and get rid of it, bring it up to the surface, expose it for what it is, many times it's not worth much of anything because a lot of these memories from the past are misperceived, misinterpreted, and you have a misbelief that's causing you to suffer in a very unconscious way. And you don't realize it. But once you can look at it for what it is and release it, bingo, the immune system comes back. And these people have amazing recoveries. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, I get very excited over this stuff.
I can see why. This is important work. I mean, I'm surprised it's not more popular than it is.
I tell the doctors, you know, that when you treat a person, and you got to understand, I have great respect for conventional medicine. I just think it doesn't go far enough. But, you know, we're taught in medical school and so on to treat the body and the mind. But, hey, fellas, there's a soul in those bodies. and the emotions are the language of the soul. And you need to treat that as well. And it makes a lot of sense to me.
What do you think about the drug companies and, you know, all the commercials that are constantly on trying to sell various drugs to cure all these illnesses? And
You shouldn't have asked that question.
Well, I know you're passionate
about
that.
I'm not a big person on writing prescriptions for everybody just to get them out the door. And unfortunately, that's what our current status is these days. Managed care has put doctors in a lousy position. They only have a few minutes for each patient because they have to double and triple their patient load to cover their expenses. And the drug companies love it because they come in and they give all these samples to the doctors in the hopes that they will just keep writing those scripts, and they do. And so there's a pill for everything, and you get brainwashed on TV listening to those lousy commercials about, you know, they need this, and you need it, you deserve it, you know. The power of the mind needs to be looked at because your mind is unbelievably powerful and it can cure you. Whatever you imagine can become your reality. It's very true.
Right.
And I prove that to people under hypnosis. I tell them I'm placing super glue on their fingers and I tell them, you know, super glue sticks like a son of a gun. You just can't get out. The more you try to pull it apart, the more it will stay together. And I count to five and I say, you try to pull it apart, and they can't. They cannot pull it apart. And then I touch them, and I say, okay. And as I touch you with my hands, your fingers relax, and they come apart easily. And what I show them is that what you imagine can be your reality. And so people imagine themselves as healthy and well and begin to think positively. They will recover. Power
even from chronic illnesses?
Thinking. Pardon?
Even from chronic, so-called chronic?
Well, if you have a chronic illness and you are taking conventional treatment, that's fine. But I think it's certainly a good idea to go back to the cause of that chronic illness. And the subconscious will take you right back. Now, some people are better subjects than others, but for the most part, I'm able to usually uncover the causes of these things.
Right. And, I have so many questions. I mean, here's something that I've always wondered, because there's other people who have done this research, and I'm wondering, when you regress people to their past lives, have you ever uncovered someone who claimed to have been someone famous or well-known?
Oh, yeah.
In history.
I have. Okay, well, this is how I do it. I take people under deep hypnosis up to their higher self. And then I have them call forth their spirit guide. And I'm convinced everyone has spirit guides, and there's usually one main one that will come forth. And if I can't get them at that time, I'll take them through a lifetime, take them through a death experience, get up into the afterlife, and then get the spirit guide. But either way, the guide is very important, and they have unconditional love for that person. They've been assigned to watch over them, and they have great answers for my questions. And what I do then is ask them an array of questions. And I get into other areas that, I also ask about foreign energy. And yes, there are attachments that hook into people, into their aura. And I know you're big into extraterrestrials.
Right.
And UFO, I've regressed many people who've had those abductions. But I had one interesting today. It's very interesting. This is an older lady who, when she was in her 40s, had a laparoscopic tubal ligation. I know I've done many of those, and I did a very good job so that you would never see a scar in the umbilicus. Well, they did also, and you could never see a scar. It was perfect. But when she was in her 60s, one morning she woke up with terrific pain in her umbilicus. And she looked at it, and it was scarred, like fresh scars. And it's like 20 years later, and she showed me, and it's like the vertical and the horizontal scar meeting together. Whoever operated on you was really, you know, either an intern or very bad news.
Oh, wow.
But what's really interesting is I ended up taking some attachments off of her, three of which were extraterrestrials. And I've run into those many times. And they're usually attached for experimentation purposes. But
when you say attachments, what do you mean exactly?
Well, I mean they hook into individuals' aura. Extraterrestrials have the technology to go from one dimension to another. And so I imagine they're able to do that without too much of a problem. I've been able to I ended up treating an individual one time who came to me with he was psychotic, bipolar, and had constant pain in his esophageal area in the front part of his chest. And I found this extraterrestrial on him, and I said, what's your purpose in being here? And the answer I got was, I feed off his energy. And I said, where? And then he said, in that area in his chest that was always hurting. And then he volunteered the fact that he did mind experiments on him. And that explains some things about the psychosis and the bipolarity. At any rate, I finally was able to release and convince this ET to leave. I checked with this guy about 8-9 months later. And for months, he had been without medication. He's perfectly fine and no further discomfort. So it's very real. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's a bunch of hooey. Well, I'm sorry, it isn't. I end up doing the spirit releasement, and I find that either a person's problem has to do with relationship to a past lifetime or to an attachment. And there are many, many attachments. I did some research. I actually ran into that for the first time by accident. I ended up regressing an individual who had a tremendous interest, a burning interest in Japanese feudal culture. And I took him back to the cause of it, and he went into this life. And he was a young Japanese farmer's son who wanted to join the emperor's army, and he finally did. And his parents bought him bamboo armor because he couldn't afford more. And now he's marching with the army in a very foggy gorge, and all of a sudden some fierce-looking guys on horses come charging through, and he catches a spear in the belly, and now he's dying. And as he's dying in the mud, he's very upset. He's saying, where's the honor? I never got to fight. And the guy I was doing was named Gerald. And as he's going along, he finally says, and Gerald won't do what I want him to do. And I was very confused. I said, excuse me? What? And finally it dawned on me. I said, how long have you been with him? He was with him for several years. And that was my introduction, strictly by accident. Since that time, I did a lot of research with Dr. William Baldwin's work, and he did the spirit releasement for like 20 years. But I am of the mind that you cannot do regression therapy unless you do the spirit releasement as well. I think.
Well, how common would you say that this spirit attachment is in the average population?
Well, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Baldwin said between 70 and 100%. My statistics are running somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80%.
Wow.
So
that's very high.
It is. And it's very real.
And there's a lot of different influences on our behavior and our health that we're not aware of.
Yes.
Wow.
And so anyway, it's and a lot of people, their belief system is just challenged too much. They're not open, to anything like this.
That's another one of my questions. I mean, when someone is skeptical of past lives, are they still able to recall this stuff, or have you ever had someone skeptical?
Oh yeah,
go through this.
I get all kinds of individuals. Most people are able to be hypnotized and regressed. However, there is a certain percent that aren't able to, and I still have my own little theories on that. I think that has to do with having dark force entities present. And what I've been able to do with some of those is get through that through some means, and I'm able to release those entities as well. A lot of people will get very spooked out and say, well, what's your protection and all that stuff? Well, I think it's probably spiritual maturity, knowing who you are, that you are this eternal being, that you live forever and nothing can really harm you or destroy you. And armed with that knowledge, and maybe a little bit of a warrior spirit in addition, I take them on, but I'm able to cure a heck of a lot of people, and it makes me feel good. It's as thrilling as delivering babies. It really is.
Well, your work, I mean, it's very personal to me because I got involved in this. I was very skeptical of all this stuff, but my mom died, and to make a long story short, I got really interested in paranormal stuff and started doing, astral travel and that sort of thing. And I found I could remember my past lives by just, when I went out of body, I would call to see a past life. And almost always, I would be taken to the most traumatic incident in that life, which was usually the death scene. Though not always. Once it was a kidnapping. Another time it was, a Native American sort of a vision quest type thing. But my question is, when someone comes out of their trance, having just recalled this, are they traumatized, and how do you deal with that?
I like to induce protections. If I see something coming, like my wife, I took her back to at least 75 lifetimes, and some of them were very traumatic. I mean, she was chewed up by lions in the Colosseum, and all kinds of things. She remembers feeling the breath of the lions, coming. But what I would do is protect them in terms of initially saying you will not experience any physical or emotional discomfort at any time. Also, if I suspect a particular problem coming up, I will just say, okay, I want you to watch this as if you're watching a movie and you're not emotionally or physically attached. And so you detach yourself and watch it, and yet you still unfold the scenario, which is what we need to see. And then I also, at the end, tell them that whatever pain or fear or negativity you may have picked up from any past life, release it into God's hands. That kind of thing. And so they'll be haunted by any problems like that.
Now, have you regressed anyone to a lifetime that was someone who was a celebrity or a well-known person?
Oh, yeah, you did mention that. Yeah, I've had several. And the reason I mentioned that spirit guide thing was for a good reason, because I was leading up to something. I had a guy who was supposedly went back to a life. This guy had, how should I say this? He had a lot of discomfort in this one particular area of his buttock. And what I did was take him back to the cause, and he went back to a football game. and it was in like something like 1903 or something like that. I can't remember the teams anymore, but anyway, so what's your name? So Jim. Jim what? Jim Thorpe. And and he went through that lifetime exactly as Jim Thorpe. I mean, the facts and the dates and everything jived perfectly. But and then even when he went to the Olympics, you know, everything was exactly as he had done it. So I was really very impressed. Except that when we got to a certain part into his family and stuff, he got screwed up later. The facts weren't correct then. And I thought, well, is this guy Thorpe or isn't he? Well, one day I had a spirit guide who out of a clear blue said, I have a gift for you. And the gift was telling me about what they described it as, or she described it as, a walk-through phenomenon, and said that a soul can look at the Akashic records and pick a particular soul to join with that lifetime, with the permission of that soul. In other words, there would be like two souls within the body. And for a purpose of learning a specific lesson from a specific perspective for just a short time, and then leave. And then she said, but usually it's a high-profile person. I said, you mean a famous person? She says, yes. And I said, why? And she answered, because that's where the action is. That's where the soul needs to be. And from that point on, that explained to me why that Jim Thorpe situation existed, because he left at that point. I also had an individual who was Joan of Arc, and when she was being burned at the stake, she had a whole bunch of souls within her.
Wow.
It makes sense. But many of these spirit guides are quite profound, and some are almost at master level, if not masters. Brian Weiss used to speak to master spirits. I have done that also. You don't see the masters as often, but some of the guides are very profound. And when I channel to them, you know, some people, they have like Seth and all, you know, and one particular spirit they channel to. I'm channeling to thousands, you know, and I get a tremendous array of information. But the business with these souls all occupying one particular body, and it's usually a very famous individual. And this would explain why a lot of people think they're Cleopatra and so on.
Right.
Because a lot of them probably were. At this time, I have a guy who I'm positive was Edgar Cayce. At least one of the souls within him. I mean, he went back into trance just like Edgar Cayce and remembered nothing of the trance, just like Edgar Cayce. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Is their identity that inextricably entwined that they actually were Edgar Cayce, or are they just kind of along for the ride?
No, this particular guy was a prophet, but a prophet in business, in stocks and stuff, and very successful, you know. And so that obviously that trait stayed with him.
Right.
You know, we're never going to know how it all works until we're in those dimensions, but I think people got to be interested in what happens to our consciousness when we leave this place. I mean, does it just melt in the dirt, or does it go someplace? Well, it goes someplace, but there is another dimension, guys, and it's a spirit world, and it's very real. And I've got patients who are mediums. I've got patients who are psychokinetic, move objects. I got those that can do precognition and, like yourself, astral project and out of body. And I mean, I've got one that bends spoons. And I asked her one time, you know, I mean, she really bent it. I mean, like not just bent it, but twist it around in a curl. And I she waits like 5 minutes, and I said, what are you waiting for? So I'm waiting for it to turn liquid. Her energy has turned to liquid, and then all of a sudden, zoom, just a little twist, and around it goes. I mean, you know, it's like you said, it's paranormal, but it's very real. And, you know, I don't have these psychic gifts like a lot of these, some of the patients I have, but all I know is that I become quite passionate over the healing aspect. That's my thrust, and I just think that's fantastic.
I mean, as a doctor, I mean, having that history is really amazing. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, And tonight we're talking with Dr. Charles V. Tremont, MD, author of the new book, From Birth to Rebirth, Gnostic Healing for the 21st Century, all about past lives, past life regression, and how we can recall our past lives and undergo amazing spiritual transformations, including physical and mental and emotional healings of a very profound nature. So this is very, very important work. Now, I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show, and if you would like to call in and ask a question of our guest, we would love to hear from you. I'm going to give out the toll-free number right now. It's 888-228-4494. I'll say it one more time, 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Now, doctor, I have so many questions.
I'm waiting for the question on Gnosticism. You haven't said that yet. Most people say, what is Gnostic? You know, they have no clue. You know?
Well, let's touch on that, definitely, because that's a big part of this. I mean, it's in your title.
Well, what it is Gnostics, some people consider them the first Christian, but what I accomplished by taking the subject into mental processes that lead to this healing business I'm talking about through regression is unbelievably similar to the beliefs of this ancient spiritual movement called Gnosticism. And it was around the time of Christ, like before it's Christ and right after. And Gnosticism is derived from the Greek word gnosis, means knowing, G-N-O-S-I-S. These guys had very little regard for religion, organized religion. They believed that introspection, contemplation, and like intuition would lead to a knowing, which would allow them to attain spiritual truths, and thus they would know God and their divine origin by direct perception, not through faith. Right. In other words, they would say, no middleman. We don't need priests. We don't need ministers. Between me and God. And this is the thing that really blows you away. They were well aware of the power of the mind. They were unbelievably aware of the power of positive thinking. They even knew the effect, the influence of the subconscious mind on the conscious mind. Carl Jung blew his mind when he found that out, because he did a lot of research in this area. But they were way ahead of us. And some were definite healers. One of those groups was called the Essenes, and the Therapeutae, I think, was another group. In fact, they think the Dead Sea Scrolls were pretty much Essene documents. So, in other words, you know, communing with one's higher self like we do through hypnosis and seeing yourself in many incarnations and lifetimes, this kind of affords you the very unusual opportunity to relive these past life experiences and gain wisdom from them without, you know, a lot of years of conscious introspection. In other words, hypnotic past life regression is a shortcut to gnosis. That's what I look at. You can accomplish an awful lot in one session.
Well, to think people are living, you know, their full lifetimes even with these illnesses and phobias and what have you.
Yeah.
They don't have to.
I know.
In one session. Amazing.
And the emotional problems people have too. I think I've had several interviews, but and I always mention this one particular case because it's so impressive how it changed this guy's life. This guy was well into his 50s, and he could never speak to any strangers. He would palpitate, sweat, get nauseated, headaches, stutter. He just couldn't talk to anybody he didn't know without going through all this. And so he surrounded himself with people he knew, and that was it. He had a very limited life. Could never open a business, none of that stuff. He'd been to many psychiatrists, and they pour on the medications, and that doesn't do a darn thing for him, except gork him out. All right, when I saw him, he finally found my website, and he came in, and I just simply said, let's go back to the class. And he goes back to the life before this lifetime. And he's like 4 or 5 years old. He's living with his grandfather because his parents had died, and he's outside playing. And the sedan pulls up with a man and a woman, and they ask for directions, and he goes up to them, and they grab him, and they kidnap him. And now he's in an abandoned house, and they're trying to extract money, and they can't because the grandfather doesn't have any money. So they give up and leave. So he breaks loose, finds a road, gets picked up by a trucker, and dumped off at the police. Now they take him home. Grandfather looks at him and says, "From this day forward, you will never speak to strangers." And that's been engraved into his subconscious right into this lifetime.
Wow.
All he had to do was visualize this, see it for what it truly was, bring it up to his conscious mind, just air it out. And when he sees this and he makes a distinction of time, he says, "Well, this is crazy. I'm suffering for nothing." And he releases the effect. His wife told me that he had opened like two businesses and spoke to more people this particular day, as I worked with her for some other problems. I said he worked with more people today and met more people than he has in his entire life. I mean, this changed his entire life. And his
wow.
He brought his son to me, and that was the one I told you with the psychosis and stuff, because he was so impressed with getting himself cured. But this stuff is fantastic. It is just unbelievable. And I just get really, really excited over it, because I never saw results like that, especially in surgery. I did a lot of surgery, but, you know, they come slow, but nothing like that.
Wow. Well, this should be the first step that we take on all illnesses prior to, surgery and pills and things like this, seems to me.
Well, it's a great adjunct to use along with conventional medicine. I mean, let's just treat the soul along with the body and the mind. It's a complete treatment. You know, what's so hard to understand? Skeptics drive me nuts. I just don't even give them the time of day these days, because they want to prove all spiritual matters scientifically. We can't prove spiritual matters scientifically, but there is proof of sorts here and there. And I always mention the heart and kidney transplant patients picking up the personality traits of the donor.
Right.
It was a strapping big construction guy. He had a kidney from an older woman. And about 8 months later, he's crocheting and knitting. I mean, that's just what happened. But one of the better ones was this 8-year-old girl who was murdered, and her heart went to a 9-year-old girl. And she had vivid dreams of the murder, so much so they identified the guy and put him away. And that's a documented case. And that tells you that...
Is that due to, like, attachment? Is that the soul becoming attached due to the fact that their organ is within that person, or is that just...
Well, no, what they did is they put the heart into this other girl, and obviously the... remember I said that subconscious cell memory is probably in every subatomic particle within you? It's like a hologram within each cell.
Oh, okay.
All the entire memory. And these people will have dreams many times of those lifetimes that the other person had. But now it's in a different person, so somehow it infuses and assimilates and integrates into that person's body. And I have the theory that if you have a particular injury that causes you to die, somehow I think the prominence of the memory with that particular memory, with all the violence and the emotions involved, causes that area to be super saturated with that memory. And so like an individual who, this is another case I had, who was met a new client and hated his guts as soon as he met him. As soon as he looked into this guy's eyes, he hated him. And as soon as he looked into his eyes, he also felt this tremendous pain in his abdomen. And he went and had all kinds of diagnostic work and could find nothing. So at any rate, taking him back to the cause is very simple. He went back to a medieval battle, and this guy's running him right through with a sword right in that spot. And he's looking into his eyes as he's dying.
Wow.
Well, he's seeing him again. That's what we call soul recognition. And the same thing goes for connecting with somebody. You meet somebody you immediately, are completely taken up with. There's obviously a connection.
And we've all had that. Yeah.
Recognition. Yeah. And well, in the afterlife, you're in this group of souls that go through these lifetimes with you. Michael Newton found that out, too. And you may make agreements with these souls and say, okay, I have this karma to do, work out, you have that karma, how about we incarnate, and we'll cross paths in this lifetime. And
so
then, and you lay out your events of your life.
Is this why we're coming here and being born and suffering? So,
well, the reason. Well, this is the way I understand it. You know, the Creator creates all these souls, and we each have a spark of that Creator within us. But we're still individual souls, but we're still connected. But we have a journey, and the journey is to ultimately be one again with the Creator. But in order to do that, we're now imperfect, so we have to perfect ourselves. And in order to perfect ourselves, we have to learn lessons. And the place to learn, well, you can do it in the afterlife, but it's not an easy or slow, it's a very slow process. And you can incarnate to other planets, but those are kind of easy lifetimes. I've taken many people to other planets. But Earth is a tough place. It's a real challenge. So when you learn a lesson here, you learn it really well. And many times I'll ask them after they get into the afterlife following the death experience, what lessons did you need to learn? And they'll ask that magic question, did you accomplish it? And many times the answer is no, in which case mm-hmm. they've got to come back and do that lesson again. But, yeah, mm-hmm. you've got to keep perfecting yourself. And soul is pure energy, and it's a physics principle, all energy vibrates. And so it seems that the more perfected you get, the higher your vibration. And so when you leave this earth plane, you migrate to that particular level of vibratory level that you've attained. And the bad dudes, the Saddams and the Hitlers and so on, have a very low vibratory rate, and it's kind of dark where they are. And that's your hell. Your hell is their state of mind. It's not right. a burning inferno and all that nonsense.
Has your research pointed out how many lifetimes a person lives in their journey towards, you know, becoming?
I'm sure many have had thousands. And there's in my book, I ran into one individual who was kind of lazy. He enjoyed staying in the afterlife. It was really kind of funny. But, it's all choice. You choose what you want to do to perfect yourself, and so you choose to incarnate. And when you do that, you choose your parents, you choose all the aspects of your life, who you are, male, female, black, white, yellow, whatever, and social status, the whole works, and all the events of your life. And then you're born into this life, the soul infuses into the fetus, and you're born. But when you're born, the memory will fade within 4 or 5 years, and you have free will. So whether you follow the path you laid out for yourself is another story. In my mind, though, if you follow your gut feelings, your intuition, which is the voice of your soul, you're most likely going to be on that path. And that's why the more enlightened people, I think, are more advanced and the more enlightened than the other people are, because they pretty much are at peace with themselves.
Right.
This is all my experience. This is what I find, and my experience is my reality. That's what
I
found.
It's amazing work. I mean, it's really astonishing. Another question I have is, have you done any regressions, or I guess progressions, into the future?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in my book I mentioned some consistencies in that. And I focus on a few things like longevity, disease, politics, and transportation. And it's amazing, like 2040, you're looking at vehicles that can hover. And I had one guy, and I get this consistently from all these people. This one guy was really funny because he got so into it that he says, oh, you know, when I'm driving, and, I guess they have sensors on the sides of the car so you stay within the road without any problem because they're electromagnetically controlled. But he says, you got to watch because if you can't just hover and jump over another car because the cops will get you. it was really funny. And then I guess 2080, they're talking about cars that now have a higher altitude. And they don't bump into each other or crack up or anything because that electromagnetic force keeps them from doing that. And they have people describe parking their vehicles outside their high-rise apartment. I mean, and this is wow. what I come across, you know, and it's consistent. It's really interesting. So,
something else. It's...
And then I've taken people to Atlantis and Lemuria and gone consistent stories on the destruction of Atlantis from all these different individuals. It's unbelievably fascinating. It really is. And I'm learning all the time, always.
So this would be a good way to research controversial historical events that where we don't know the truth about as well, I would think.
Oh, sure.
If you could find someone who was there. Very, very interesting stuff. Wow. So let me see. What haven't we covered? We've just got like a few minutes left. How can people, you know, discover for themselves what past lives they have? Or, you know, what are the signs of a past life, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, you're influenced. You're kind of like now the subtotal of all your personalities, number one. Many people have flashbacks consciously of a scene that's from the past, and they don't know where that came from. And some people just have dreams, consistent dreams, repeated over and over of a lifetime. So those are all, you know, in evidence. And deja vu, people who have, you know, feel like they've been this place before. My wife, I know, was she had deja vu in Segovia, Spain, in the courtyard of Ferdinand and Isabella. That's at Alcazar Castle over right there. And she did that when she was 10, and then she went back in her 20s and lived there for a while. And that same courtyard had that same deja vu. I took her back to the cause. She went back to a little Spanish girl named Marcela Alvarez, who had visions of the Blessed Mother in that courtyard. And what was really interesting is she's not even Catholic.
That's astonishing.
But you know what? If people believed in reincarnation, there would be very little war. I mean, you know, if you figure out that one time you're an Arab, next time you're Jewish, you know, they would stop hating each other. You know, this kind of thing. I don't know. I just think it's a strong sense of justice, and it's very understandable. And it makes more sense than anything I've ever run into.
It's certainly amazing. I mean, this probably is why, I mean, people say, as an example, people who are prejudiced, you know, the neo-Nazi type movement. So they must have come from a lifetime where they experienced some horrendous events to made them feel this way.
Oh, yeah. I've run into so many people who are present during the Holocaust, too, and that's a very sad time. And the children had died, and so it's very sad.
All right. Well, another question I want to touch on briefly before it's too late is what can a person do to remove attachments? Is there anything we can do just as a kind of a...
Not really. They're pretty adherent. What I do is I ask a spirit guide if there's foreign energy present, and then I... ask what kind and what are we up against and so on. I'm able to, if it's earthbound spirits, the discarnate entities who die and remain in the astral plane because they decline going to the light for one reason or another. It could be a mother out of compassion for her kids or somebody who's out of revenge or for love or just confusion, not knowing they're dead. And then they will hook on to people. And your addictions kind of go with you. So if it's an addict who's now deceased, you will hook into somebody and they become an addict.
Oh,
what's really not so good is that the ailment, the earthbound spirits bring their ailments with them. So if they have an ulcer, they imprint their ailments upon your physical body. You get an ulcer. They have a backache all the time, you're going to get a backache all the time, and so on. So a lot of the problems are related to the entities. And I will always ask them, you know, what are you responsible for? And they'll tell me. And I'll have a list of things that I know what's going on. And then I convince them to go to the light, and they will go usually, just like I convince the ETs to leave. The dark force entities, that's a little different. I have to call in big guns to remove them.
So is an attachment always a negative thing, or can it be positive?
Very rarely. Some of them are there to protect, like it could be a relative there to protect you and help you. But by the same token, they're still imprinting their ailments upon you, and that's not so good.
No.
So in the long run, you know, it's better to release them. And then I put a golden white light around them to protect them from further intrusion and fill the voids that were made when they left. There's another type of attachment called a mind fragment or a soul fragment. That's a fragmentation of consciousness. Like if a little girl's being molested many times, it'll be such a horrific situation, she will do an out-of-body thing and part of her consciousness will be on the other side of the room watching unemotionally attached.
Right, because multiple personalities form.
And sometimes that fragment may not return. It may hook onto somebody else.
Wow.
And so what you do is follow the silver cord and get that fragment back to its original soul. It's like soul retrieval type stuff. At any rate, yeah, there's a lot to it. But it's needed. And like I say, I never am disappointed with surprises because I never know what I'm going to run up against. But it is very therapeutic.
That's very good
stuff.
Well, we just have like a couple minutes left. I just want to give you a chance to tell our listeners any last thoughts you might have on the subject, anything you think that they might need or we haven't touched upon.
Let's see. I talk about a downside to regression in my book, but that's my early days when I didn't use protections. But I use those protections, and I haven't really run into any downsides. I took people back, just for the heck of it, to their first existence on Earth, and many of them came in as animals to begin with.
Oh, wow.
That's right. And then they would advance all the way up the line to more intelligent animals, and then finally to primitive man. But even then, I found out that they were not a complete soul, and the master spirits were kind of calling the shots on when to incarnate and so on and so forth for them, until they learned the lesson of love. And when they learned that lesson, then they were more of a complete soul, not just an essence of a soul. And then they called their own shots in terms of when to incarnate and so on. So that was an interesting journey, I'll tell you.
Very,
and there are things like parallel lifetimes where you have split souls into two different bodies and so on. I don't want to get into all these different areas that are going to confuse people, but there's a lot to it. And I've run into everything, I think. But I'm always learning. And I love talking to these spirit guides. How long do we have? Just a few more seconds?
Yeah.
I'll just tell you one quick one about the master spirit. One particular patient had this master spirit called Rahalaman, and I would really get a lot of information. I'd ask him about the pyramids and cloning and cryogenics, all kinds of real esoteric stuff. Anyway, one day I got another master, and you don't get them too often. And just for the heck of it, I said, is there a Rahalaman among you guys? They said, no. I said, okay. At any rate, Rahalaman's back on the scene in about 3 months. And the first thing I hear is, I understand you're looking for me through someone else. And that's where the hair goes up in the back of my neck and stuff. they're very real. They know things nobody could know. And in my book, I did an experiment with spirit guides and proved they're genuine.
Wow.
So read that part. You'll get a kick out of it.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show. It's been amazing.
It's been fun.
You're a terrific guest.
I can't shut up when it comes to this stuff. I just very passionate. So.
Yeah, well, your book is amazing. From Birth to Rebirth, Gnostic Healing for the 21st Century, available from Swan Raven Publishing.
I hate to tell you, but that's not the publishing company.
Oh, it's not?
It's Granite Publishing, yeah.
Oh, well, that's the same one.
They have that other... Okay, that's one of their other names. Okay, yeah, they have a subsidiary. Well, you know, okay, but they like to call it Granite. Same difference.
Okay, yeah, well, Granite Publishing.
At any rate, you have a great program, and so it was a pleasure being here. I really, really enjoyed it.
Now, do you have a website that you want to give out?
Yeah, it's called hypnoregression.com. H-Y-P-N-O... Regression, all one word, .com.
Hypnoregression. Well, thank you, Doctor. It's been
all right.
It's been great.
All right, take good care. And if you continue to enlighten people like this, you're going to be definitely helping the cause, I'll tell you.
Well, my pleasure. I'm right there with you.
All right, Buster. Take care.
Thank you, you too. All right, everyone, that's our show for tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Charles V. Tremont, Dr. Charles Tremont, M.D., that's T-R-A-M-O-N-T, and we've been talking about his book, From Birth to Rebirth, Gnostic Healing for the 21st Century, which has been published by Granite Publishing. You can get it at www.granitepublishing.us or on Amazon.com or bookstores near you. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I have, and I hope you can join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest to talk about UFOs and the paranormal on BBS Network. Till then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.
Hi.